praise the Lord. I thank God for a short word tonight and a word of testimony and a word for me. And I was praying today and I said, Lord, I don't really have a whole lot for tonight. And I just wanted him, I said, Lord, just what is a word for the people tonight, just to keep them for a minute. And because sometimes I notice that we like to have, and I'm one of them, I'm like everybody else. I love it when someone really has a great sermon and a lot to say that really, you know, warms and encourages my soul. But tonight is very short. And I just want to give you two scriptures tonight. And one of them's in Jude and one of them's in Peter. And Jude and Peter, I think the first or second Peter, I'll tell you which one in a minute. First Peter, yeah. Just two scriptures you're very familiar with. And he says in this, in Peter, and he echoes this from so many different people. Jude writes it, Peter writes it, Paul also talks about it, but tonight I just want to encourage you tonight. Jesus, in his prayer, mentions it as well. He says, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, yes. He says, and then don't, you know, if you can keep us from as much as possible and keep us from falling prey to evil, not becoming evil, but letting evil overcome us. Yes. Evil things overcome us. When he says, lead us not to temptation, in other words, he's saying, lead us through the trials that we go through and deliver us from evil. In other words, keep us from the things that the devil would do to destroy us. And it comes in so many different ways, because it isn't usually that the devil jumps up and, you know, throws evil in our faces. Most of us know how to avoid the things that are really evil. It comes because of all the things that we preach and teach about, the discouragement and the various things that they do from time to time. And Jesus in his prayer says that we're supposed to ask God every day. This is not something we're supposed to do from time to time. We're always supposed to ask God, Lord, don't let evil things overtake us.
Yes, this day.
Don't let evil situations and don't let frustrating things and things that would really bother them, don't let them overtake us. Don't let them get us to the point where we throw up our hands and give up. Don't let them get us to the point where today we're just so angry we don't feel like praying. Don't let them, and it's not always that. Don't let us get so busy.
Yes.
Watchman Nee warns us about love not the world. Don't let us get so busy.
Yes.
Don't let us get to the point where we develop such a need in the world that we call everything God, because the devil will sneak in unawares.
Yes, he will.
To spy out your liberty. And when you look up, the devil will have, you know, taken your walk in Christ in a different direction. And when he says that keep us from evil, he means don't let things come that separate us from God. Don't let my work, don't let my life, don't let my career, don't let anything, don't let my marital relationship, single relationship, whatever it is that separates you from God, that's evil.
Yes.
Whatever it is, you know, and it can be a good thing, but it can work evil in your life if it separates you from God.
Yes.
He says, keep us from evil. Today, you know, in another place it talks about it, Jesus tells him in another place, he says, sufficient, and talks about the evil of the day. Every day that we have, something comes, and if we're not careful and we don't grow spiritually enough, things come, and most of us, many of us, and most of the people I know, they know the devil when they see him in drugs, and they know the devil when they see him in you know, maybe in music or in TV or something like this. But most of the people I know don't know the devil when he comes and sides with you in things that you think are all right. And he does little things and he settles little things, and the devil will try and settle things that really God is supposed to settle. And he'll work little things, and most people don't recognize him in that. They don't see him working evil in the way that he does, because when he can't get you to go another way, he sides with you.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves to tell you that the way you're going is right. He loves to be your friend and come up to you and make it seem like he has an answer. And the most insidious thing about him, the most sinful thing about him is he comes along and you don't even realize it's him.
Yeah.
It's like when we tell little kids, you know, we give them an idea to do something. Won't it be nice tonight to go to bed so the good fairy will come and do whatever? And they say, you know, that's a great idea. And they don't realize it's not even their idea. It came from someplace else. And the devil does that. And his intent, and the other point of it is that we seem not to get it. We seem to sometimes think that he's not a roaring lion always after us. Yes. And we think that we recognize him so well that when he shows up, we're going to know it's the devil. And, and we pride ourselves on our discernment. And the devil loves for us to decide that we have great discernment. He loves that. Because he knows that when we decide that we have great discernment and we don't, he knows that when he gives something to us and puts it in our minds, we're not going to deny it because we say we're great discerners.
Right.
And he loves it when we think we have more Holy Ghost than we really have. Hey, look, love the Lord for the amount that you have. Love God by how he leads you and love God by how he brings you around things and how he brings you through things. And love God and always turn to the Word of God to make sure it's God. Don't be afraid to go to the Word of God. And even if you think you know the Word of God, when the Spirit says you need to go read that, read it. Because there have been times when I thought in my memory the Word of God was saying one thing, and when I read it, it really was saying another.
Yeah, saying something else.
And you know, and I heard somebody say something one time, a few times every now and then, and you need to go read it because sometimes they'll say something one way and you need to hear another. Because in this way, he's able to lead you away from temptation and keep you from evil.
Yes.
God desires to keep us from the evil one, to spare us from all that. And so Jesus says we need to pray every day. Lord, what are my thoughts and what do I think about this? And Lord, we need to search and say, Lord, which way should I go and what do I need to do and what about this? And we must not ever just affirm to ourselves, I know exactly what I'm doing and how I'm going to go. Jude keeps telling us, James keeps telling us, he says you have to always keep asking the Lord, Lord, is this your will?
Yes.
Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do?
Yes.
Lord, is this the right thing? Lord, did I get the right thought? Oh, saints of God, you know, even when we read the Word of God and when we study, you have to ask God from time to time, do I have the right revelation about that? Do I have the right mind concerning that? Lord, is that your thought? Is that your will? And he'll send you through the Scriptures because he told the saints, he told them in one place, he said, search the Scriptures. Take a look. God doesn't mind you searching the Scripture. There's a problem with someone who doesn't want you to read any more than what they tell you. God has no problem with you searching the Scripture. He would have you read the Word of God. By this you know the Holy Spirit. And he says in this, he says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Keep me from things that are going to keep me from God. Keep me from things that are going to turn me out of the way for my ministry and for the things that God has for me. Keep me from things that take my joy. Keep me from things that disturb my spirit. Keep me from things that keep my soul in the uproar. You know, there comes a time when you want to say to God, you know, like David said in one place, he was talking about, in many places, David talks about giving his soul rest. And he talks about his soul being still when you read Psalms and when you do all those. When you read your Bible, you find out that sometimes he would be disturbed and he would ask God to settle him and to keep him and to keep his mind. And we are so overly confident and we're so arrogant in ourselves. We won't ask God. We won't say to the Lord, Lord, I'm more frustrated than I need to be. And there's something not right about this. We are so sure about ourselves. We won't say to the Lord, Lord, I think I'm going the wrong way. Lord, this is not working. We've made up our mind and our faith is so great. We're afraid to say sometimes, you know what? I need to turn around. I told someone recently. They were talking about somebody and I compared them to Elijah. You know, I ain't got Elijah's power nowhere near it. I have not called down fire on Mount Carmel. literally or figuratively. I haven't slain all the priests of Baal, literally or figuratively. I haven't outran a chariot, and I haven't caused the earth to withhold rain and then give. I haven't done any of those things.
Yes.
And yet he had all this power, and at one point in time, he decided it was time to run and get out of town and go hide and wait for God. It was the wrong decision. It was the wrong decision. And the Holy Ghost wrote it down for me. So that I could see that someone who had greater power, who had a closer walk with God, somebody who had who was stronger in spirit than me, someone who had seen miracles and signs and wonders and had done it. Someone that God was talking to and walking with, and who eventually just carried up in a whirlwind and lives in heaven today in his mortal body. He wanted the Holy Ghost wrote it down so I could see that even someone like that could make a wrong decision sometimes. And he also wanted me to see that when he made that decision, how God would treat him, knowing that he's the man of God. Don't be afraid. Don't let people make you so afraid to say that you're wrong. You're wrong. Where is your Holy Ghost? Well, my Holy Ghost is the same place it's always been, in my spirit. I just made a wrong decision because I'm still human. And sometimes, you know, your soul life, and you can be overwhelmed. And Jezebel, with her reputation for killing people, doing whatever she wanted to do, and you know Ahab wasn't going to stop her because he didn't have a bone in his body. And when she decided she was going to kill Elijah, you know what? It just got the best of it. And he didn't see anybody else on his side. That was another thing, too. Didn't see anybody else standing up for him. He called down fire for all these people, and nobody seems to be, nobody's protecting him. Nobody's coming to his rescue. Nobody's coming to his aid. He didn't say he was leaving God. He didn't say he was giving up his ministry. But he thought to himself, I need to get myself out of here and protect myself because she done killed everybody else. And he leaves. And then God lets him know, no, she hasn't killed everybody. And everybody said, well, you know, you think you're the only one. And you question Elijah. Why do you think he wrote it? Because we make mistakes sometimes. And we keep running and going and going and going and going. And the idea is that God will help us when we settle down. And God will come in and rescue us because God is going, we were reading the other week, his eyes are going to and fro in the earth, seeking who he can strengthen himself with, trying to find out who he can help. And Elijah, he lets him run until he settles down. He's not doing anything wrong. He doesn't become an idolater. He doesn't go bow to Jezebel and beg for his life. He doesn't leave God, Jehovah God, and say, I'm never going to preach again. He doesn't do any of those things. He just gets out of town as far as he can and sits there waiting on the Lord to come and take
him.
That's what he's waiting to do.
Yeah.
And when the Lord shows up, he says to him, what are you doing here? He comes up so nice like a father. You know, the child has ran outside, sitting on the steps, brooding for whatever reason. And the father, you know, a good father, they're running like, get up from there. What are you doing out here brooding? That's not what a good father does.
Yeah.
He goes out there and says, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And what is the problem? And why are we here? In other words, his desire is not to punish them, but how can we fix this?
Yeah.
What can we do?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I need you, Elijah. I still have something for you to do.
Yeah.
Your ministry isn't over. You still need to go and anoint a king, and you still need to go pick a successor, and you still need to go prophesy against Jezebel. I've got a work for you. It isn't over because you made a mistake.
Right.
You know, and people are wrong for trying to tell you, you made a mistake. Where's your Holy Ghost? Just keep reminding you, where's your Holy Ghost? Where's your Holy Ghost? No, your ministry isn't over because you made a mistake.
Right.
Your walk in God is not over because you made a mistake. Because God keeps you.
Yeah, yes, he does.
He makes a way to keep you.
Yes, he does.
He comes in the spirit. He comes in the word of God. He comes in a small, still voice. He comes. And this is why Jesus tells the disciples, he says, you need to pray and ask God, Lord, come in. Don't let the evil overtake me. Don't let the things that are overwhelming. Don't let my job overwhelm me. Don't let my career overtake me. Don't let my friends overtake me. Don't let my frustrations overtake me. Come in. Anything that would overwhelm me and keep me from being in you, that's evil.
Yes, that's evil.
I need you to come in and help me out. Settle me down. Doesn't have to be somebody else. It could be me.
Yeah.
Wasn't anybody else. You know, when Jezebel makes her threats, the fear that Elijah has, it's in him.
Yes.
God tells him, hey, you're not by yourself. You just think you are.
Yes.
I've got some more people. You just thought you were by yourself. That's not true.
Yes.
I had somebody else. You had help. You just didn't see him.
See him. Yeah, that's right.
You thought you were by yourself. You thought you were all alone, but you weren't.
Yeah.
I was here.
Yeah.
I hadn't left you.
Yeah.
I'm the same one that sent down fire. I'm the same one that held the rain. I'm the same one that sent the rain. Hey, you know, I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah.
He lets him know.
No. Yeah.
I'm still here. He's keeping him.
Yes.
So in Jude, he says unto him when he's praying, and then Peter, I'll start in Peter first. He says to an inheritance in 1 Peter 1:5, incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. In my life, kept by the power of God. In my career, kept by the power of God. In my marriage, kept by the power of God. On the street, kept by the power of God. Every day, kept by the power of God. I'm kept by the power of God. In my ministry, kept by the power of God. In my church, kept by the power of God. He'll keep me as long as I'll let him keep me in everywhere. I'll let him keep you in every place. I'll let him keep you. I'm kept by the power of God. In my family, I'm kept by the power of God. I'm a father, kept by the power of God. A husband, kept by the power of God. A brother, kept by the power of God. A pastor, kept by the power of God. Everything that I am, I'm kept by the power of God.
Yes, amen. Me too.
I want God keeping me in everything.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to walk off and declare my greatness and
right.
declare
yeah.
my knowledge and declare my this and declare out this. And I want to know that it's right before God, because when something is right with God, there's no wrong in it and there's no evil in it. It's not going to deceive me. It's not going to overwhelm me. It's not going to overthrow me. I'm kept by the power of God. My way is committed to God. Into his hand I commend my spirit. I lift up my soul unto him. I want to be kept by the power of God. Power of God being the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost power who dwells in me. The power of God being the spirit moving in the situation around me. In the churches that we look at today on TV, they like to use the term in the environment or in the atmosphere. Okay, I'll go in with you on that. The power of God in the atmosphere, in my surroundings, in my environment, in everything that involves me, in everything that I touch. I'm kept by the power of God. It's the power of God that directs my steps, not only my inner life, but my outer life. I want God.
I want God to keep me,
I want the power of God to move in everybody I meet. I want the power of God to move in every decision I make. I want the power of God, and you know, when I'm flying, I want the power of God keeping the pilot up. I want the power of God keeping the engines running. I want the power of God doing everything that needs to be done. I'm kept by the power of God. I want to see the Lord flowing. I want the power of God making them fly on time. I just want Lord and everything. Work everything out there. You gotta be able to work someplace. I don't want to work nothing for myself.
My help.
Yes.
I have enough to do just being in earth and having to work. And I need God in that.
Amen.
I need the Lord leading me and guiding me because God knows. He knows the things that I already know. It's surprising and remarkable what things God will reveal to you if you will allow him, and things that you think you already know. It's amazing how God will move if you will let him move in you in things that you already think you have. And he says, and as Peter writes in this, he says, he has this inheritance for me. He has this, not only what I'm supposed to get, but what God's supposed to get out of me. Because when he talks in Ephesians, he's not just talking about the inheritance, like I get a mantle, I get a crown, and I get a robe, and I get shoes, and all those. I get all those things. But I'm God's inheritance. I am what God intends to use to rule and reign in the universe. God has a job and a purpose for me. Like Rick Warren wrote in his book, it is a purpose that God has for me. It's more than mine just coming in and just glorifying God and then going out being myself. Listen, to glorify God, you do it all the time. It's not just you come into the house of God, come before the saints of God, and you get deep and resounding and astounding, and you're just great in God. And then you walk out this door, and you become you. And unless your you is to the glory of God, which I want mine to be, your you is something else, and evil can come in and not only come into you, but use you.
Yes.
Who are kept by the power of God. My inheritance that's undefiled and fadeth not away is so important that God keeps me toward it.
Yes.
Otherwise, I would lose it.
Yes.
It's like when, you know, it's like children, we're doing work for them, you're doing work for them. You have to remind them from time to time while you do it. They would throw it all away. Mm-hmm. They would squander it if you didn't remind them. He says, we're kept by the power of God. Last scripture, Jude 24. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. He's the only one that can keep Elijah, turn him around, get him back to appoint Elisha, get him back to anoint Jehu. He's the only one who Elijah will listen to. He's scared of everybody else.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can keep Elijah on the way, sends an angel to feed him because he knows Elijah's running so long. And even while Elijah's on the run, God's taking care of him.
Yes.
Sends an angel and sits down and he prepares a meal for him. And
yes.
Tells him, you need to eat because you seem it's going to be a while before you settle down. And then he sees him through. He's the one who keeps Jonah. When he's going to Tarshish and going in the wrong direction and making up his mind that he's not going to go to Nineveh, not no way, not no how. And God prepares a way for him before he even gets on the ship. God has prepared a great fish because he knows he's going to have to discipline Jonah. And he's going to have to turn Jonah around. And he makes a way that if Jonah will allow himself to be kept, he will keep Jonah by his power. So Jonah can do what he needs him to do. He makes a way. He tries to save Balaam. He sends an angel down to stand in the way to let Balaam know that death awaits him because the angel has a sword drawn and he's standing there and Balaam is so sure about himself and thinking how he has convinced God to let him go even when God told him no, but he's talked God into it so he thinks and he's so sure about it and he's so arrogant about it and he's so confident in himself that a jackass can see death standing in front of him and Balaam can't see it. It's the way it is. Sometimes when you're so confident and you're so sure about yourself, everybody can see that it's killing you but you.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody can see that what you're doing is not the right way to go but you.
Yeah.
And Balaam is so busy going about his way, making up his mind of how he's pulled one over on God and how he's going to get down there and get this money somehow or another and work things out and still not bother God. It has gotten him to a point now where he can no longer be kept. And the evil is overtaking him.
Yeah.
How does he think he's going to work what he's working and still be in God? I will never understand. But somehow he figured out he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And God, because of his grace and his mercy, stands in the way and gives Balaam one more time to turn around and go back if he'll take it. You know what? When God gives you an opportunity to do something different, when God gives you an opportunity to do something different, when God gives you an opportunity to do something, when God gives you an opportunity to do something different, you need to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's keeping you by his power divine. He's keeping you so to your inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. He's keeping you.
Yes.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Can't be talking about anybody on earth. Got to be talking about God. Can't be talking about anybody on earth because, one, nobody on earth is interested enough in me to keep me from falling. They would rather watch me fall and read the headlines. They would rather talk about it, whisper and have good conversation and find out how many people they can be the first ones to tell. They love because bad news travels and bad news sells and the sensationalism. They love the drama.
Yep.
Not interested in restoring me. That's the reason why he says in one place when Paul writes, he says if anybody falls, let those who are spiritual, those who are in God, let, you know, and it's not let the ones who are spiritual like, oh, they have a hard time. You better call so-and-so. He's spiritual. That's not what he's getting at.
Right.
He's saying spiritual people
yes.
are going to find out how to restore you.
Yes.
Spiritual people are the ones who are going to say, you know what, the Lord, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Spiritual ones are the ones who will say, this too will pass.
Yes,
spiritual ones are the ones who are going to tell you, you know what, I've had a hard time. I've been wrong before. Yeah. Spiritual people are the ones who are going to say, you know what, I haven't always been right.
Yeah.
Spiritual people are going to say, you know what, I was down. Because he says, considering yourself.
Yeah.
Spiritual
yes.
people are the ones who are going to say, but God is a restorer.
Yes.
Spiritual people are the ones who are going to say, but God lifts you up. Spiritual
yes.
people, you know, he's not saying let those spiritual, don't mess with them. You ain't spiritual enough. You ain't spiritual enough. I'm spiritual enough if I can say to you, the Lord will forgive you.
Yes.
I got enough Holy Ghost to say that. I might not have all the titles, all the accolades, but I know one thing. I know the Lord will turn things around.
Yes.
I know God will part your Red Sea.
Yes.
I got enough Holy
yes.
Ghost to know that
yes.
the Lord will
yes.
fix it. I got
yes.
enough
yes.
Holy
yes.
Ghost to know the Lord can work everything out. I got enough Holy Ghost to know that with God all things are possible. I got enough Holy Ghost to know that there is nothing too hard for God. I got enough Holy Ghost to know that the Lord to turn me around, he'll turn you around. I got enough Holy Ghost to know that I'm saved by grace and by his mercy. I got that much Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
That makes me spiritual.
Yes.
That will restore you.
Yes.
Without even asking you how you got there. Without even asking you why you're there. Without even trying to find out who else is involved. Without running an investigation behind everybody's back.
Yeah.
Running around talking to everybody
yeah.
you can talk to, trying to find out what's this and what's
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
Where is
yeah.
the Holy Ghost in that?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Let them that are spiritual.
Yes.
Another part of the spirit is Joseph. Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. He made up his mind, I ain't going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him, even before he decided to marry her, he was going to put her away privately. He was spiritual enough not to want her stoned. He knew not to lay her out before all the people because he knew what they would do. Spiritual people can keep things to themselves and work between them, you, and God and work things out. And they don't have to go tell somebody and whisper to somebody else. You know, there's some people, I stopped having a lot of confidence in telling anybody anything in the church of living God. And I'll be honest with you, the very one you like to tell is the one I don't tell. Because I found out that there's no way you can tell this person and stay a secret.
Right. All right.
I found that out.
That's true.
Even Benjamin Franklin said one time, he said that, you know, three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead.
Yeah.
And I found out. You have to be very careful, especially when it's personal, who you tell, because I have found out.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there are not very many people who keep anything in confidence that I know. But I know God doesn't tell a soul.
Yes.
If he tells somebody, he'll be your Ananias if you're Saul. And when he tells your Ananias that you're coming, and so Ananias can lay hands on you, and you'll be lifted up because he's a keeper.
Yes.
He's able to keep you from falling.
Yes.
And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Present me faultless now unto him that's able to keep me from falling. And present me to my inheritance this and it is incorruptible and undefiled, and the faith is not away with exceeding glory.
Yes.
And bring me in, and the only way I can get it is if I'm faultless and I'm free from sin. Now unto him.
Yes.
He says it is to the only wise God.
Yes.
Our Savior. He's my Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. To the only wise God. Listen, saints of God. I'm finished now.
It
says, give honor to whom honor is due. You better start giving a whole lot of honor to the one that can keep you from falling.
Right.
Yes.
And the one who can present
you
faultless.
Yes.
You know, it takes a lot to present us faultless because we do stuff all the time.
Yes.
We might not be chopping off people's heads, and we might not be running to and fro in the streets. Might not be fornicators or adulterers. It might not be axe murderers or killers, but we do stuff.
Yes.
We offend people. And many things James wrote, we offend all. We offend
yes.
people. We hurt people.
Yes.
We do some things without even thinking about doing them, and we carry on.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And we keep on going. And worse than not trying to fix it, we don't even realize we have done it. We're so in on ourselves, and we're so sure about what we do and how right we are about everything and how we make everything work. We aren't even aware of what's going on. And if we're not talking to someone who's spiritual enough to let the Lord keep them, you're killing people.
People, yes.
But I know a Savior.
Yes.
I've got a Savior who keeps you from killing me.
Yes.
And I've got a Savior who keeps me from killing anybody else.
Yes.
I've got a Savior. So why does he have to keep you from killing anybody else? So he can resent me faultless.
Yes, yes.
So he can present me faultless. Before the presence of his glory. I need to come into his glory without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle or any such thing. So you ain't going to see God if you have one. Oh, no, there's a people who are going to see God spotted and wrinkled. They're coming in before that great white throne. They're going to have spots all over. They're going to look like a leopard and a jaguar combined. They've got wrinkles like they just came out of the washing machine. Nothing about them is in order, and they're going to stand before God in their disheveled condition because they have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. They have been cleansed by the blood. They have been purchased by the Holy Ghost. They haven't been done all the things that God has done to fix me up and do me right. It's like he took Joshua, told him, your clothes are old, and they're dirty, and they're raggedy. He told Zechariah, he said, put some clean clothes on him. Put a mitre on his head. Straighten him up and make him presentable before God. Bring him before the altar and fix him up. When God gave Joshua his anointing, gave him his commission, he said, now fix him up.
Yeah.
When the Lord saved me, you know what he told the Holy Ghost? Now fix him up.
Clean him
up.
Yeah. Amen.
Wash him.
Wash.
Here's some blood.
Yes.
Wash him.
Yes.
Here's the Holy Ghost purging.
Yes.
Do what needs to be done so that I can present him in that day. In the day of my glory, he can be presented.
Yes.
Faultless. He says to him, to the only wise God and our Savior, everybody standing, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, the only Lord God, our Savior, who has glory and majesty, dominion and power.
Yes.
The one who is able to keep me from falling.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody tonight. Don't get so busy you stop calling on the one who keeps you from falling.
Amen.
Don't get so angry you stop calling on the one who keeps you from falling. Don't be so frustrated. And when I say this, who are you talking to? I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Don't get so frustrated that you stop being before him that's keeping you from falling.
Yeah.
Don't be so discouraged, so disheartened. It's whatever the evil.
Yes.
Don't you stop coming to the one now unto him that can keep you from falling. Come unto him that can keep you from falling. The only wise God, our Savior, who has dominion and majesty, who has honor and power. Come to him. He is able to keep us from falling. Let's lift our hands. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, you're our only wise God, as Jude says down here. He says, be power, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Father, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're our keeper. Lord, through the word of God, through your precious Son, Jesus Christ, through the precious Holy Spirit, Lord, these all work together for our good. Lord, you're keeping us.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, you give every man who hears, every woman who hears, boy and girl, every person who hears, Lord, give us a desire to want to be kept.
Yes,
Lord, put it in my mind every day to ask the Lord, Lord, what must I do, Lord, that you will keep me? How shall I be kept today? What do you need to keep me from? What do you need to keep me for? How shall you keep me today? Lord, how do I do that? Lord, I want to be kept.
Lord,
I glorify your name. Lord, wash me and cleanse me that I might be presented faultless in thy presence, Lord, in thy glory, O God. Lord, that in that day, Lord, when we see you in your glory, we shall be glorified also, O God. Lord, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, Lord. Lord, that I will appear with him in glory. Lord, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear. Lord, I want to appear with him in glory. Lord, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear. Father, make it so that I will appear with him in glory. Whatever need be done in my life. Lord, whatever need be done in the life of anything I touch, Lord, that do.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that I'll be kept by your power to that great day, O Lord. Lord, I want to see you.
Yeah, I want to see you.
Lord, and stand before your face, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I desire to be in you. Lord, wash every one of us and bless us and lead us and guide us, Lord. Keep us in the love of God. Lord, by keeping us in the Holy Spirit, oh God. And Lord, we'll worship you and we'll glorify your name. Lord, we'll honor your presence and our precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom we love, who is our Lord.
Yes.
And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lord, heal the sick tonight.
Yes,
thank God for all of you. I'll be back Sunday morning. You can be seated. Be back Sunday morning in Ephesians. And we were going to pick it up in the fourth chapter of Ephesians where we were. I think we're about verse number five or so. But we'll pick it up in the next verse in that. And we're really just, I'm just really loving it. Maybe I'm the only one loving it. But no, that's not true.
Yeah.
But I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And we're really enjoying being in Ephesians. The Lord is blessing us in it. He's blessing us in that.
Yes,
I thank God for it.
Yes.
Truly by the Spirit, because I've, it's just good.
Amen.
So I thank God for all of you and everyone who's in Zoom and all of you who can tune in. And if you desire to have what we're teaching, what I'm teaching, I would say we're teaching, because it's not just me, it's me. And it's I'm just the mouth. It's the Holy Spirit and the
Amen.
Word of God. If you'd like to hear some of it and have an interest, then let Ella Reed know. She'll send you a copy of it. Maybe I pray the Lord will give you something out of it. He's been giving me a lot. So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Good and bad. New covenant tonight. Praise the Lord. I pray Ella Russell is doing better. Sister Russell is doing better. Ella Russell is enjoying his entire retirement. And
oh, wow. Congratulations. Good
to see Ella Jenkins and Ella Latham. Who else I have on here? Sister Barbara. Sister Nancy. Sister Nancy, I'm praying the Lord lift you up and you'll be all right. Sister Earth. And, of course, India. Praise God for you.